Welcome to Local Matters. We are talking today to Brenda Hewitt from Putnam County Schools, and Brenda is Extended Learning Programs Coordinator. Brenda, glad to have you on the program.
Thank you, Dr. Bob, for having me here.
Well, we're delighted, and I'm looking forward to learning a lot more about programs like LEAPS and some things that I don't know very, very much about. Maybe start, if you would, by telling everyone just a little bit about yourself, where you grew up, and how you got into this kind of work.
Well, I am originally from Wisconsin. I did my student teaching at All Good Elementary back in 1987 and graduated from the University of Wisconsin Oshkosh in May of 1988. From there, I proceeded to interview and interview and interview for a job. It took me until 1994 to get a position in Jackson County, actually as a PE teacher.
How about that?
Where I worked on a waiver for 2 years, and then I kept interviewing in Putnam County and was able to get a position under Dr. Sandy Coswara, who's very famous, infamous in Putnam County, and she hired me to teach Title I math. From there, I taught third grade and fourth grades over the next 17 years. So I'm starting my eighth year in this position, so I've been out of the classroom for 7 years. And I would like to think I've become pretty much a pro at this now, learning these grant programs, which was quite a task coming out of the classroom, learning how the government works and what the expectations are.
It's quite an art to learn how to do these grants, isn't it?
And writing the grants. Oh, my.
And some folks think these kinds of programs just happen with a magic wand, but it's a lot of hard work to put this kind of program together.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. It takes a lot of organization.
And I did not know about your internship at All Good Elementary when you were a student at Wisconsin. Tell us how that worked.
Well, ironically, that was the same year that Tennessee Tech was trying to convert from quarter hours mm-hmm. to semester.
Yes.
Well, I was already working under a semester system. So the dean of education here called the dean, I believe it was Talbot.
Mm-hmm. Could have been.
Called the dean in Wisconsin uh-huh. and said, hey, let's see what we can do for this lady so that it'll be a win-win for both of us. And so they adapted, and not a lot of people probably know this is my fault, but they adapted the student teaching experience from mine.
How about that?
And so they lent me a supervisor from Tech, Dr. Eleanor Ross,
mm-hmm.
and she was fabulous, and I had a fabulous experience. I worked under Linda Fernandez in T1 for 6 weeks. And then I had also the wonderful privilege of working with Arlie Freeman for 8 weeks in a split fifth, sixth grade.
Wow.
Both great, awesome veteran educators. I was very blessed to learn under
really,
both of those ladies.
You really had some fine folks there. And
I did.
Eleanor Ross was a legend at Tennessee Tech.
Yes, so. I understand that.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that was something. And so you've taught from Jackson County to Putnam County, and now you're doing this extended learning program.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. Well, tell me or tell us about LEAPS and what LEAPS is all about.
Well, LEAPS is, of course, an acronym for Lottery for Education After School Programs. And 21st, which is what we like to call it around the job site, is an acronym for 21st Century Community Learning Centers. The main difference between the two is that, of course, Lottery Education, the LEAPS program, is state-funded monies. And 21st is federal dollars. So you've got two different grants that are operated just a little bit differently. But the State Department tries to run them and align the rules and expectations as much as they can within the state and federal guidelines.
Well, and that's got to be a bit of a delicate dance, though.
Yes.
I know, not with State Department of Education, but with others, at times at Tech, we've been caught between federal guidelines and state guidelines, and it does take some finessing sometimes to
yes, sir.
Keep those things where they work to the benefit of the student, and that's what it's all about.
Yes, sir. You definitely have to know what your list of non-allowables are, because that list seems longer than the allowables.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. A lot of no-go zones in a lot of different different kind of grants. Well, talk about the Community Learning Center. What does it do, or what was the concept behind it?
Well, the 21st and LEAPS are actually very similar. In both of the programs, the expectation is to serve kids before and after school. One of the differences would be that LEAPS has an expectation of 15 hours per week. 21st depends on whether it's elementary, middle, or high school. So I have five 21st sites, which are Berks, Monterey High School, Upperman Middle School, Upperman High School, and Cookeville High School. So the two middle schools need to operate 12 hours a week, and the three high schools can operate 10 hours a week, and that's the minimum allowed. The LEAPS are expected to operate 15 hours per week.
And where do these hours happen? Is it totally after school?
Before and after.
Before and after.
So all of my LEAP sites, which are the other 13 sites I did not name, will operate 1 hour every morning from 6:45 to 7:45 and 2 hours every afternoon from 3:15 to 5:15. The 21st sites have a little more freedom as far as choosing whether they want to operate maybe 30 minutes in the morning and 2 hours every afternoon. As you can imagine, what the high schools have discovered is that there's not a lot of attendance on Fridays. So if they don't operate 2 hours 5 days a week, then they have to operate in the morning some. And so typically what they'll do is 2 hours Monday through Thursday after school, and then 30 minutes per morning for four mornings to be able to capture those kids getting off the bus and do what they need to do.
How about that? And who qualifies to be part of this kind of program?
Well, as I said, per grant guidelines, we have a priority. And in that priority, eligible participants typically qualify for free and reduced lunch. They must be at risk of educational disadvantage and or failure due to circumstances such as low income, abuse, neglect, disability. They might be at risk of state custody due to family dysfunction. They might be enrolled in a public school such as ours that could be failing to make adequately yearly progress. They could be at risk of failing one or more subjects, or they might be behind a grade level or at least 1 year. We also look at our tiered students that are receiving RTI. So those are our priority students. So we do what I call intentionally invite a lot of these priority students first, because that's what the grant guidelines require us to do. And then we usually have a waiting list at schools, and we'll take other students as we have room.
So you actually have a waiting list for
Oh, my goodness.
These.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And partly because it's a free program.
Sure.
And so it saves parents money if those students attend our programs. However, because of grant guidelines, we need those students to attend at least a minimum of 2 to 3 afternoons a week, mm-hmm. because we have an attendance requirement. That's how I'm able to secure funds when I have to reapply for these grants, which I'll mention. LEAPS, I have to reapply every 3 years. And this is going to be at the end of this school year, the end of the third year. So I'll put together a committee of stakeholders and we'll begin our work. 21st century grants, you reapply every 5 years. And so I lucked up they're not falling on the same year, I'll have to reapply for 21st next school year, at the end of next school year.
Well, you're going to be writing an application just about every time you turn around.
Yes, sir.
Well,
yes,
that's okay.
Sir.
It's important work.
I've had a year or two off, so.
Well, you mentioned a term that some listeners may not be familiar with. What is RTI?
RTI is Response to Intervention. So for those listeners that have students that are struggling with reading and math, they may be in an RTI class at their school that helps them grow academically in these areas.
So it's just a chance to try to help that student stay up to speed and you used another term earlier, adequate yearly progress.
Yes, sir.
Is also a term that the federals use to say people are making progress. They're moving forward.
Yes, sir. And as parents are aware, their students this time of school year are getting ready to take what's called a universal screener, which identifies specifically what their skill deficits are in reading and math. And so with this information, schools are then better able to determine this is what this child needs more of to be able to make the gains that they need to be on grade level, which is always our overarching goal in the Putnam County school system, is for students to be where they need to be. And this is a program that helps. And so in after school, we also try to help with these same deficit areas.
Well, that's great. We're talking to Brenda Hewitt, the LEAPS 21st Century, or what she calls the 21st Program, Director for Putnam County. Brenda is Extended Learning Programs Coordinator, and we're going to take a break and be right back.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service, too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
Well, welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Brenda Hewitt, the Extended Learning Programs Coordinator for Putnam County Schools, and we're talking about a program called LEAPS and also about the 21st Century Community Learning Centers. And Brenda, it was sort of fascinating to learn in general what these programs do. How do these things differ from what some folks may know as school-aged care or SAC?
Yes, sir. SAC operates, first of all, different hours than we do. They operate starting at 6 o'clock in the morning until school starts, and we don't usually start that early. The earliest we start is 6:45. They also are open until 6 p.m. in the evening. Our program shut down at 5:15. That would be the first difference. The second difference would be that SAC has a rate. They have a fee. We do not.
I see. Okay.
Okay. The third difference would be what they offer. Of course, because we are paid through grants, we have required areas that we have to cover in our before and after school programs. They do not. So what they typically do in SAC is they have a homework time and they have a snack just like we do. However, they have more activities that are more play-related activities. But I think they do other things, too, that could be related, but theirs does not have to be structured as ours does because of the grants. So they have a little more freedom
yeah.
to choose what types of activities that they do.
And yours is a little more focused on learning and on moving students forward in specific areas.
Yes, sir. And I also want to say, when you look back at what my title is, Extended Learning Programs Coordinator, our programs, we try very, very hard to make sure that it's an extension of the school day. And so we're doing relatable activities that align with what's being done during the school mm-hmm. day, such as the RTI conversation we were talking about. We search for that data. We have that data. We know who we're inviting into the program and what their deficits specifically are so that we can address those needs in after school.
And do all of your schools or all of your sites have basically the same overarching framework, and then they tailor to the specific deficits of students?
So one of the things that we're doing now, we just met with site coordinators for the first time last Wednesday, is I lay that foundational work down for them for the schedule. And I'll say, okay, so from 3:15 to 5:15, what are we going to do? We're going to feed them snack when they get out of school. We're going to touch on homework and do the tutoring that we need to do for those students. Then that first hour, our goal, our emphasis will be on the academic part. And that could consist of tutoring. That could consist of that response to intervention piece, that RTI, and re-delivering a lesson that they may have gotten today just to make sure it stuck with them. You know, that little bit of reteaching is huge.
Mm-hmm.
Then that second hour will be the enrichment piece, because we also have to cover things other than math and ELA. We have to have enrichment pieces, which is your STEM, your arts, your music, all of those different pieces that I always like to say that gives our students another focus, because there's so much negativity for these students that know that they're not where other kids are. And mm-hmm. I want them to have a focus. I want them to have, I want to say, a star to reach to say, I can do this and I'm really good at this. And it takes their mind, if not just for a little bit of time, off of what they can't do. And this is what I can do. And I can dribble. I can play. I can play an instrument, or I have schools that offer basketball dribble or jump rope teams, or we have a new subject that we'll be talking about. But I want them to know that there's other things that they can do.
And that's so great to for that student to get away from just this sort of negative environment where there's frustration going
yes.
on.
Yes.
And into something where they can be an achiever.
Yes, sir.
I was watching the Olympics this week, and you watch some of the commercials that involve young children who are just emulating those Olympians, and you think they think they can get there, and that's mm-hmm. that's really important. So it's good to get those. Well, what are some of the misconceptions with these extended learning programs? Are there things we haven't talked about that are misconceptions about the program?
Well, I want to say that I've worked really hard in the past 7 years to try to remove the stigma of our program being a babysitting service.
Mm-hmm.
There may be parents taking advantage of the program
sure.
for that reason, and I cannot change that. But what I can change is that if they've given us their student to care for during that period of time, what we are doing with their student while we have them.
So they're getting enrichment activity.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely.
So if they want to call us a babysitting service, although I'm really not okay with that because we are so much more than that, I try not to let it bother me because the overarching goal is student success. So if that's what that parent uses our programs for, okay. But I know what I'm doing intentionally with that child while I have them in our care.
So you're adding value to that student and that student's academic skill set
yes,
life
sir.
Skill set. And
yes,
that's
sir.
That's a really, really great part. Well, we've talked a little bit about a normal day, but they are fed during this program, at least a snack after school.
They get the super snack.
And then they've got some academic part. And you said that that part may involve reteaching a lesson they've had that day.
Mm-hmm.
So just sort of a reinforcement of the key points.
Yes, sir.
And then there's also this, I guess I'd refer to it as an enrichment time when they get to do some other fun things too.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great. That's great. It it looks like there's some nice opportunity for everyone in here. Well, tell me a little bit about archery. We're going to go into in our third session a little bit about your archery program, but this is something new for Putnam County, is that right?
Well, I actually bought equipment back in, I believe it was 2016 for Monterey High School. Chris Pierce at the time was our site coordinator at Monterey High School, and Steve Elrod was an SRO officer there, and he had a desire to bring archery into the programs there. And it lasted a year, and then it kind of absolved like things do. And so then I had to work at, I've got this archery equipment. Now I need to find someone that will train and become certified. NAASP has strict rules about if you're using our equipment and you're competing, you have to have a certified instructor that's been trained by one of our state coordinators. So eventually that led us to transferring the equipment to Upperman High School 2 years ago. Well, then that person left. So it's been in limbo for a year again in storage. And this year, my site coordinator, Judy Hadlock at Cookeville High School, said, hey, I've got some people interested.
Standing.
So we scheduled another training, and then Trey Upchurch, who is our new student services supervisor, reached out to all of the PE teachers and said, hey, Brenda's scheduling a training. If you've ever been interested in archery, let her know and we'll get you signed up. Well, for some reason, this is the year that everybody's interested in archery, because I got another call this afternoon with someone that is interested.
Well, that's outstanding. We are going to spend part of our last segment talking about archery. For now, this is Local Matters, and we are going to take a quick break. Welcome back to Local Matters. We are talking to Brenda Hewitt, the Extended Learning Programs Coordinator for Putnam County Schools, and we have been talking primarily about LEAPS and the 21st program, the Community Learning Center program. And we left our last session talking a little bit about archery and some of the interest this year, and you said there is more interest this year than you've seen in the past. So tell us about the upcoming archery program.
Yes, sir. So as of right now, we will have archery at Capshaw Elementary, Parkview Elementary, Prescott Middle School, and Cookeville High School. So
wow.
I am very excited that we have that many interested in providing something that I think, I don't know if I can use the word innovative, but I think it is for our school age children that have not normally been exposed to something like this. It is a sport, but it's different from anything that I'm sure they probably see at home unless they have a parent or an uncle, aunt, grandparent that is a hunter.
Yeah, that would probably be, they might see them during fall archery season for deer hunting or something in that sense. But it's an important skill, and it's it is an Olympic sport, and so it's got a lot of potential. But I would think there would be some students that really get excited about that and maybe get pretty good at it.
Yes, sir.
Well, that's
our goal.
Well, that's great. And you mentioned something in an earlier session that you've got site coordinators at each location, and this year you've got several new site coordinators. Is that
yes,
right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I have 9 new site coordinators out of 18.
Wow.
Because if I did not say it earlier, we have a LEAPS or 21st program at every single public school in Putnam County.
Wow. So you've got 18 sites, and some places they're experienced and they know what's going on, but how is a site coordinator chosen and how do you train them?
Typically, I reach out to assistant principals first, just because a principal cannot be a site coordinator. That's another one of those grant guidelines where we have to find lines. And an assistant principal, I prefer just because they have more access to student information. We do have some certified teachers that are site coordinators in the absence of a assistant principal being interested. And then they work closely with those assistant principals or principals to be able to obtain the information that they need for these kiddos. We do have one school that has a support staff person because there weren't any certified teachers or assistant principals at the time that were interested.
They could be great.
But this person works in RTI. She's worked in the title program. So she knows these students and she knows who needs the services. I would love to have more SROs participate in our after-school programs, and I've actually talked to Mr. Eddie Ferris about that in the past and said, you know, I've said, if you ever have someone that's interested in doing something, you know, let me know. We can pay them for after-school also, just like anyone else if it's not part of their contracted time.
So the assistant principals or whoever is in this site coordinator role, do they do it all, or do they have other folks that come in for special skills?
Oh, yes. We have to we employ several hundred people to work in these after-school programs, as you can imagine. There's typically no less than maybe six people at a site per day, not including your front desk person that's, you know, a definite need, and the site coordinator.
So these folks may bring their own specialty to it, or they've got their own special area that they serve as a coordinator or a teacher in?
Right. So as we discussed, we have program priorities like the math and the reading. So we try to find those certified teachers that will come in and do that intentional work with those students. And we even ask, you know, second grade teachers, would one of you be willing to work on those second grade skills with a group of your students? And otherwise, yes, we have other approved activities, like we talked about art and music, social emotional learning. So we have counselors that'll work in our program to be able to fill our need to cover that area. The PE activities, I have lots of fabulous PE teachers that work in our program that do great activities with the kiddos, just because I feel like they also know what I know, that these students need success. They need to have that sense of achievement, and they want to work with them at an early age so that when they go to middle school or high school, they feel that, hey, I can try out for volleyball because Mr. Haggard or Mr. Reese taught me the skills that I need to know, or Mr. Cook, and I'm going to try out, where they might not have had that confidence in themselves before to do something like that. And I'm most proud of those types of things that we do in our programs to build these kids up.
You open a door for them that
Be
a really important opportunity for some success.
Yes, sir.
So that is great. Well, how did the pandemic, or how has the pandemic, it's not over at this point, so how has the pandemic affected what you do with Leaps and 21st?
Actually, as far as attendance is concerned, it did not affect my programs at all. Our state goals were met in Leaps. They were not met in 21st, but it was just the high schools. And so, as you can predict, high school students, their attendance is never that great. However, we had a higher attendance rate from the high schools than we've ever had in 3 years. So I was really kind of bumfuzzled about that. So I was excited, obviously, that I was one of the few people in my position that could report to the state such high attendance numbers. And their call to me was, how did you do this? How did you get this kind of attendance, and what are you doing? Even the state UTK department, where we have a system that we enter our attendance, just in case people don't know, we have lots of accountabilities measures. They're like, what are you doing in Putnam County? This is amazing. No one else has numbers like this across the state. So I was really excited about that.
Well, that is great. Yeah, that shows that it's, it, at least from the perspective of last year's pandemic, it didn't mess this program up much.
No. I mean, we had the same protocols to follow, and we used the same safety measures and what have you, but we really did not. I don't feel like it really put any kind of roadblocks in our way, other than we did have teachers that chose not to work in the program last year, sure, but they're coming back to us this year. We did have some families that had students that did not participate that had participated in the past. But obviously, with our attendance rate as high as it was, that didn't play a role.
Well, it's a real tribute to the coordinators and to you and the students, too, that at least last year was a good year. Well, you mentioned that you've got sites all over the county. What are there new things on the horizon beyond archery that you want to talk about for any of these sites?
I would love to address that. However, because we're still in the process of developing schedules, I can't tell you exactly what everyone is doing, but I can tell you it varies from site to site. And I'll give you a couple of examples. I know that Monterey High School is going to offer a cooking class, a sewing class, and an art class this year.
Cool.
And that's different from last year. I know that Upperman Middle School will offer a sewing class. They have a whole classroom set of sewing machines, and that particular teacher teaches them everything from how to sew on a button to start with, and then eases on into the sewing machine aspect, and they actually learn how to make quilts.
Cool.
In this class. And so we've got some schools that are going to do their traditional basketball dribble or jump rope team. We've got the archery that's being added. We've got STEM classes that we're finding out what's your interest, especially with student teachers. What is your hobby? What is something you really like to do that you would like to teach children to do? And so those are some of the things that we're looking at. And I will tell you that I also have lots of violins and cellos, but unfortunately, one of the things I've lacked in the last couple years is finding an instructor. And that would be something that's, you know, one of the things that's difficult. It's a hard position to find.
Sure, it would be.
Simply because if there's anyone that does know how to play the violin and cello or as an instructor can make more money working with children individually versus working with a group of under 10.
But there may be some that are
I'm hoping to contact you. I never lose hope, sir.
Well, sort of as our last thing, tell us or tell our parents what they can do to help you and to help their students. What kind of things can parents do that'll make your program better?
For those parents that have students that are in our programs, I just ask that you make sure they stay at least an hour in the afternoon because of the attendance requirements that we have. And partly, they may not realize that we have those kinds of requirements.
I'm sure they don't, yeah.
And we need them to attend a minimum of 2 to 3 days. So don't be upset with a site coordinator who says, I'm sorry, but your child cannot stay in the program if they don't stay at least an hour and if they don't attend 2 to 3 days. Because we're so interested in their students succeeding, we need them there to be able to set those goals and be able to achieve what we want to accomplish.
Well, you are doing great work, and I'm just delighted you could come on the program and share it with our listening audience. We have been talking to Brenda Hewitt, the LEAPS coordinator, actually the Extended Learning Programs coordinator, which includes LEAPS and 21st Century for Putnam County Schools. Brenda, it's been great talking to you, and thanks so much for taking time to come in and visit with us.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me here. It's been a pleasure getting to know you.
Well, good luck in the program this year.
Thank you.